We did SEC versus Pac-12 with SEC Mike. Now we're doing Big Ten versus Pac-12 with Big Ten Bill from the Dispatch in Columbus. Ben, what else do we get into in this episode?
Bill's written two books. He knows everything in and around the Big Ten. We get into the best tailgates, the best stadiums, some heart losses in the Rose Bowl. Bill's got us covered. Coming up right now.
Ben and I started this when we both lived in New York. I'm originally from Northern California. Ben's from Washington. And we bonded, agonizing, trying to keep up with West Coast sports out on the East Coast.
Right, right.
And then fast forward a couple years ago, we said we should start a podcast and just talk about West Coast sports. Here we are. I'm Kyle, a.k.a. K-Win in L.A.
Big Ben. I'm up in Seattle. Appreciate okay. You coming on.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm from Dayton, Ohio. Went to school in St. Louis, Washington University, then Northwestern for a graduate degree, and then had the misfortune of looking for a job right after the stock market crashed in 1987. So it took a while. Got a job at a small place, small town paper in upstate New York. That didn't last long or well. And then moved to York, Pennsylvania, where I ended up meeting my wife. In fact, today is the day, 30 years ago today, we started dating. So,
happy anniversary.
Yeah, thank you. Moved to Columbus after 10 years to cover the expansion Cleveland Browns, and then moved eventually after 6 years to the Bengals to cover them for 3 years. And then in 2011, I was asked to join the Ohio State beat. And so I've done that for, what is this, whatever. If there's a year, this will be my ninth, I guess.
If we look at the NFL draft, Chase Young, Jeff Okuda, J.K. Dobkins all left early and went on to the NFL draft. Looking into this year, we don't know when it's going to start, but who are some of the young players that you think need to step up for the Buckeyes to get back to a BCS playoff game?
Well, I think Justin Fields is the obvious one, the quarterback. It's the second year here. He's much more comfortable this year. He was great last year. Phenomenal year. Heisman Trophy finalist. He'll be a front runner this year. Chris Olave is a guy. I mean, it's kind of the famous play at the end of the Clemson game where there's a miscommunication. Chris Olave read one thing and Justin Fields threw another and it was intercepted, and that'll haunt them for a long time. But they, you know, I don't know that there's a Chase Young on that defense this year, because honestly, the Chase Youngs are pretty rare. I mean, you just don't find those guys very often, although Ohio State did have the Boses. But I think they're going to be really good. They have some question marks, but I think they're going to be really good again. And I think a BCS thing is kind of the bare minimum of what would happen with them. I think for Ohio State, they've reached a point where it's FBS or bust, or, you know, football, playoff or bust, not FBS, but the CFP or bust. And yeah, they're definitely the kings of the Big Ten. They've established themselves as the best team in the Big Ten. It's not really even close. Not to say they won't be challenged. Penn State will be very good, and Michigan's Michigan, and Wisconsin's good, but Ohio State is the clear favorite going into this year.
So you mentioned Justin Fields. A lot of people have him as the early favorite for the Heisman and maybe the number one overall NFL pick next year. What does he do well that the average fan just does not understand or catch a glimpse of?
Well, he can make every throw. He's tough. He's a good leader. He's a very good runner. I mean, he's a pass-first guy, but he certainly can run. And I'm convinced that if he had been healthy, he got hurt at the end of last year, couldn't run very well against Clemson. And if J.K. Dobbins had not gotten hurt during that game, then Ohio State wins that game. So they were really handcuffed when those two, their best two runners, couldn't really run. So I think that the one question I have about him is he's got to do better in terms of reading pressure and adapting to pressure. Sometimes he would kind of trust himself too much and kind of get sacked or get hemmed in. But he was very careful with the ball. He threw one interception until the Clemson game. He threw two in that game. So he's careful with the ball. He's you know, he's as close to everything you want in a quarterback as you're going to find.
I read where Coach Day said a couple weeks ago he wants to turn Ohio State into QBU. And,
right.
You know,
right.
Coach Day spent some time in the NFL with the Niners, my Niners. I'm a Niners fan, and also the Eagles. You've been covering the Buckeyes for 9 years. What have you seen in Coach Day's offense since he came in 2017, and what makes it so special?
First of all, it's adaptable. Urban Meyer ran the spread, and that worked obviously very well for Urban Meyer. But I think defenses have kind of caught up to some degree with the spread. I think that a pro-style offense is probably more effective, or at least it's more attractive to potential quarterbacks. So if you want to become QBU, you want to have those pro-style quarterbacks. And Dwayne Haskins was really the first Ohio State quarterback to be a first-round pick in, well, since Arch Schleister. And he was a bust, obviously, for a number of reasons, mostly off-the-field stuff. But he obviously was a bust. But Ohio State, even since then, had never really produced. They'd had studs at every other position, defensive back and wide receiver, defensive line, linebackers, you name it, every position except for quarterback. And so they have Dwayne Haskins be a first-round pick 2 years ago. And you've got Justin Fields, who will certainly be a first-round pick whenever he comes out, probably next year. That's what, you know, that's what they want. They've got guys in the pipeline now. Last year was iffy because if Fields got hurt, they really had nothing behind him. You know, this year they got a couple of stud freshmen. Now, they're freshmen. You don't want to play them in significant, you know, if you have to, in a meaningful situation. But the potential is certainly there for the, both those guys.
Well, you mentioned Dwayne Haskins, and he's playing for what we'll call Ohio State 2.0. You got him, you got Terry McGuinn, and you got Chase Young.
Right.
Watching Chase, you know, they compare him to the Bosa brothers, and they're saying his talent is above and beyond that. What do you think his impact will be next year as a rookie for the Redskins?
I'll be mildly surprised if he's not the defensive rookie of the year, honestly. I mean, now, again, he could get hurt. There could be other players that have unbelievable seasons. A lot of things could happen, but going into the season, I think that, well, that's the expectation because he's that good. He doesn't really have a weakness. He's got the desire. He's going to be playing for his hometown team, so he should have extra motivation. You know, I don't know that Washington's going to be a great team, but, you know, for him individually, it should be dominant.
Hey, Bill, you went to Northwestern. I want to get into the kind of broader Big Ten conversation. Big 14, I guess you could potentially call it.
Right.
But I think what we've seen with the interjection of, say, Rutgers and maybe expanding your fan base is Big Ten's produced more revenue than all other conferences, $759 million last fiscal year, had the highest amount of money distributed. What's been the key to the Big Ten success?
I think a lot of it, well, Jim Delaney deserves a lot of credit. Jim Delaney, you know, took some heat because he's, you know, commissioners are going to take some heat. But I think that he was a master businessman. Obviously, the addition of not so much Nebraska, but Rutgers and Maryland was based on expanding the footprint, getting money in the New York markets and the Washington markets. Competitively, they've been busts, especially Rutgers. I mean, Rutgers has been awful.
When we were in New York, we went to a couple of Rutgers games. It was bad football. It's
the birthplace of football. Come on.
Yeah, birthplace and death. And I had a good relationship with Chris Ash, who was at Ohio State for a few years and was instrumental in their championship. I've talked to him, and it's just a tough situation. I think Greg Schiano has as good a chance as anybody to revive that program. He did it once. They hope he can do it again. I can't think of anyone else who would even have a chance to do it. But, you know, it's Rutgers got a long way to go. The other thing is the Big Ten kind of feels like brethren. That's an academic association as well as an athletic one. There's a lot in common. They share a lot in terms of the academic side and the research side. So, and it's been stable. I mean, yeah, you've had programs to go up and down, but Ohio State's Ohio State, Michigan's Michigan, Penn State obviously has been a very good addition. Wisconsin's been really good for a long time. And the coaching, I think, has gotten better. You don't have kind of coaches you go, oh, this guy's got no chance. I mean, there are always going to be some cellar dwellers, but, you know, there are really no jokes in the Big Ten anymore other than Rutgers probably. In terms of some competition. Yeah, even Lovey, you know, they beat Wisconsin last year. I'm still not sure how that happened. But yeah. Greatest beer in the world.
Oh, that's awesome.
K-Win needs to grow one, by the way.
I had my first one ever during this coronavirus. I called it my spite beard. I just was so and I finally got fed up and shaved it. And my wife, she had, it was the first time I'd ever had one. And my son were like, no, oh, this is, get rid of it. So I did.
Bill, how does Kevin Warren keep up that momentum that Jim created? I mean, how does he make a big splash?
Great question.
Some plans there?
I'm not sure they are thinking about big splashes as survival. I think now with coronavirus and the effects that it's having, there's going to be a lot of retrenchment. There's going to be a lot of people looking very hard at the bottom line and saying, how can we afford to do what we've already done? Can we sustain this? I was talking with someone in Ohio State today, and it's a situation where there are many more questions than answers about how they survive it and what form it will take when this is all done. Because if you can't have football this year, or even if you can't have football with fans, Ohio State brings in $50 million just in ticket sales, just that.
Wow.
And if you take that out of the equation, well, how do you fund? They have 36 programs. Obviously, basketball makes money, but nobody else really does. Not significant money.
Yeah. You bring up a good point, especially with your comment earlier about them being predominantly academic institutions. Right? And so I think everyone's going to deal with that in a broader scale, especially,
right,
you know, the CSUs. And, you know, there was comments about people defecting from the Pac-12 potentially because of regulations by particular states and being able to play. Quick question for you. I mentioned the 14 schools, Bill. It's called the Big Ten. If you had to relegate four schools to the MAC, who would they be?
Well, it depends on the sport. If you say overall athletic
football, programs, football.
But let's keep it football.
Well, Rutgers. I would say Illinois. I mean, right now, I mean, obviously they've got a history, and they were better last year, but the last 5-10 years, Illinois, Maryland. And then depending on the year, Indiana or Purdue, maybe. You know, but even, you know, they've had their moments. Indiana is one of these teams that they've been okay, and they've been close to pulling off these upsets. They just don't have the depth to do it. Mm-hmm. Purdue's, I mean, they crushed Ohio State a couple of years ago. That's a game that Ohio State fans will always kind of go, what happened? Mm-hmm. So that's the thing, is there aren't kind of those programs where we go, that's a hopeless program, like Northwestern in the 70s and 80s. Right. It was hopeless. That's probably the best thing Ohio State has got, or the Big Ten has got going for it.
So we'll go with the entire state of New Jersey, the entire state of Maryland, and the entire state of Indiana.
Okay, now you will. Yeah.
Hey, Bill, this doesn't mean to be a shot, but there is a hashtag on Twitter called the Boring Ten. And I think that's been long heralded, yeah, you know, ground and pound and, you know, 3 yards and cloud of dust. Is that justified?
Not anymore. I mean, not anymore. And maybe 20 years ago, mm-hmm, but no. I mean, Ohio State is playing cutty. Now, if you want to say that about Jim Harbaugh's offense, that's I'm not making a crack, but there were a lot of Michigan fans who were saying, you know, if he would just open up the offense, they would have a much better chance. And they did to some degree last year. But I think Michigan's been a laggard that way. But mm-hmm, I think if you look at other programs, and Wisconsin plays Wisconsin, that's old style football, no question. But it works for them. So mm-hmm, I wouldn't, and that's the kind of players they get. They're not going to get the 5-star guys that Ohio State gets, you know, as many of them at least. So that's the way they play, and they do it very well. And I would say that, you know, most of the teams in the Big Ten, you know, the slow thing is mm-hmm, the cliche too. I don't see it. I mean, I just mm-hmm, don't see it.
So Bill, there's been some early predictions on your Twitter around who's going to win the back, or the, I saw you posted on who's going to win the Big Ten. The early predictions have the Buckeyes going 11-1, CFP or bust, as you said. If they just play a conference season play out, who else could surprise outside of Ohio State, or who's set up to maybe overachieve and win some money?
I think Penn State's really good. They were really good last year with a very young team. They were probably better than most people thought they would be. They had to replace Trace McSorley and their quarterback, whose name escapes me at the moment, played very well. They've got a lot of talent, and Ohio State has to play at Penn State this year. That's the team I would probably say has the best chance. You know, I was a guy who kind of thought Nebraska had a chance last year. I was wrong about that. You know, Michigan is, you can't rule them out. I mean, I think that Michigan State is certainly rebuilding. But, you know, I think it's Ohio State clearly number one and probably Penn State clearly number two. And then Wisconsin, Minnesota, obviously. PJ Fleck has really got it going there. The West is interesting. Big Ten West is interesting because you do have a bunch of teams that in a given year could make a run because there isn't the Ohio State or even the Penn State or Michigan in that division.
Yeah.
So, Bill, now we get into the fun part. We call it West Coast Swing. There's some rapid-fire questions. There's really no right or wrong answer. It's just what you're feeling at the moment.
Okay.
So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. How many Pac-12 conference games do you watch in a given year?
Well, I'm a night owl, so I wouldn't say entire games, but probably more than I'd like to admit. I would say 10.
All right. All right. We like that answer.
Double digits.
The Pac-12 struggling with their marquee games. Do we have it on Friday night? Do we do it Saturday after dark when everyone's sleeping? Or is it breakfast starts in the morning? If you were Larry Scott, the Pac-12 commissioner, where would you place their marquee game on a given weekend?
Oh, I think, you know, if they started their games at like 10 o'clock Eastern time, like 7 o'clock your time, I think there'd be a pretty good market for that because most of those games – the big, you know, primetime games are ending at 10 or 11. So fans on the East Coast or middle of the country would turn it on halftime and watch a game that would end at roughly midnight or, you know, around then. Where if it's a compelling game, people stay up for. But some of these games, I mean, they start at midnight. I mean, I can't stand for that. I'm a night owl. But I wouldn't play on Friday night. I mean, it's
that's know, for the Mac, Saturday right, night. Bill? That's for the Mac.
Yeah,
Mac.
They'll play any day of the week. Yeah.
Bill, how does the Rose Bowl stack up against any other Big Ten stadium? You got the Big House.
Ooh. I love the Rose Bowl. I've been there twice. The Oregon game in 2010, and when they played Washington. Beautiful. Obviously, the start of the fourth quarter with the mountains and the sunset. It's great. You know, it's always different for a writer because we're on deadline. I'm writing the game story, and it's always, you know, you're like this. But it's, you know, even just the sign that you've got up behind you. You know, you see that, you go, that's, you know, I grew up with that. I grew up, you know, watching Ohio State and Archie Griffin and all that stuff, and they show that, and it's just there's something that's just kind of like it hits you. And for the Big Ten, for the longest time, you're too young to remember this, but that was the only bowl game they ever played in. It was Rose Bowl or bust. If you didn't, I mean, Michigan in the early 70s, when they were competing against Archie Griffin's teams, they lost, I don't think they lost another game to any other team other than Ohio State during those 4 years, and they never went to a bowl game.
Wow. Rose Bowl or bust.
Yeah. So it's still special when Ohio State goes to the Rose Bowl.
Okay, Bill, I have to ask you, attended or just watched? What's your most memorable Rose Bowl? Was it 1975 or 1985?
I don't remember the 85 one. I remember the 75 one. Was that the 42-21?
Those were both when USC beat Ohio State, I think.
Oh, that was our sub Pac-12 dig on you.
Yeah, that's fine. But I remember the one Ohio State lost 42-17. This is when I was a kid. I remember the stuff when I was a kid better than I remember the stuff as an adult. Then they came back and beat them 42-21, and then they lost the heartbreaker. It was at 18-17, I think it was, when they had a chance to win the national championship. Yeah, but there's been much more heartbreak than elation for Ohio State in the Big Ten and the Rose Bowl. I know that.
When will Urban Meyer take over as the USC head coach?
Don't hold your breath.
Great answer.
Yeah. So September 12th, it's Ohio State in Eugene playing the Ducks. What's the final score and what's your prediction?
I think it's going to be 0-0 because I doubt they play the game.
Ooh, all right. That's fair. Now, if they do play and the Ducks win, I see that guitar behind you and I hear you're a novice guitarist. Will you come on the show and play the Ducks fight song?
If you give me the chords. Is it like their uniform? They change them every week?
Yeah.
Bill. Whenever I think of Oregon, I always think of Animal House. You know, yeah. They were filmed on that campus and all
great
that.
Great movie.
So I was looking forward to coming and being able to like see the different spots from that. But I haven't booked the flight. I booked the hotel because it was months ago, but I have not booked the flight, and I don't think I'm going to book the flight. I mean, look, I hope they play it. It'd be great, but I am not optimistic.
If it happens, we'll meet you in Eugene, Bill.
Sounds good.
Two-part question for you. Actually, just one part. Best tailgate in the Pac or the Big Ten?
Ooh. You know, again, it's different because I go as a writer, so I'm not really doing the tailgate thing. Ohio State's got a good one. Wisconsin's got a good one. Penn State's got a very good one. Those are the ones off the top of my head that stand out to me. Yeah.
I can tell you Rutgers isn't that great.
No, no, it's not.
I think we went to like a Buffalo Wild Wings on campus, and that was our tailgate party.
Yeah, not much there. Not
Bill,
much.
You've written two books on the Buckeyes. You just got an assignment to do the same thing for a Pac-12 team. Who is it?
Well, they were about a specific year. So, I mean, I think the marquee program in the Pac-12 is USC. You know, I think about special teams that they've had that's a good question. I know that John McKay, if I could have talked to him, would have been great because he was such a great quote.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about what do you think about your team's execution? I think it's a great idea. I mean, you can't, you know, that's great. That's great. Urban Meyer's never given me a quote like that.
Who gets fired first, Clay Helton or Chip Kelly? You can push here too. Wow. Say the same day.
Wow. I see. I don't really know what Chip Kelly's got coming in. I don't know what their talent level is supposed to be. I mean, I know Helton's kind of dodged it a few times already. So I would probably go with Chip Kelly. That's just a guess. I'm not an educated one.
2 years ago, before he went to IU and you had to send him to a Pac-12 school, do you send him to the Animal House in Eugene or somewhere else?
Well, knowing my son, I would want to send him somewhere. I would send him, this is where I'd send him, to Cal Berkeley, so I could have a 2-for-1. If I'm going to fly out to Oakland, I'm going to see my daughter and my son.
There you
That's
go.
The obvious one. Or Stanford, you know. Either one. I know, I know there's a big rival between, you know, Stanford and Cal, and I don't really know what separates them and – You know,
yeah, that rivalry puts Ohio State, Michigan, too. It's a shame.
No. No, it doesn't. Have they ever played 1-2 or top 5?
No. I'm completely joking. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they have in tennis or gymnastics, but right. not right. football.
I tell you what, one of the most entertaining things I've covered in terms of college sports is a college tennis match. I've covered the NCAA tennis. It's hilarious because you think about the genteel, you know, country club, not college tennis. They're like yelling at each other and the fans are into it. And the players who are done playing in their matches, they'll start heckling the other. It's great. It's hilarious. I'm like, wow. This is tennis.
Well, I think that wraps it up. Bill, do you want to tell our fans where they can find you online, where they can read about you and any plugs you want to give on your books or upcoming work?
Sure. On Twitter, I'm at BR Dispatch. It's my initial, BR Dispatch. My books are Buckeye Rebirth about the undefeated 2012 season. That was Urban Meyer's first at Ohio State. And then I thought that would be my one and only. Then they have the most improbable, crazy national championship I can ever even. I mean, Hollywood would have rejected the script. In 2014, that was called The Chase. Still available. Still get royalty checks, you know, not big ones, but you know, some I'll take it. So those are available on Amazon. So yeah, feel free. I appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, well, thanks for coming on the show. We had a great time.
You're welcome. And if you want to subscribe to our paper online, if you are an Ohio State fan, go to BuckeyeExtra.com. And it's pretty reasonable. I forget the exact rate, but it might, you know, a few dollars a month to subscribe just for the Ohio State coverage.
Awesome, Bill. You've been great. Hopefully we'll see you in Eugene.
I hope so.
Seattle, Portland, LA, San Fran, San Diego, Scottsdale, Phoenix. This is Kay Wynn.
And Big Ben.
And we are Western Standard Time. WSD Podcast. We're everywhere online. Podbean, iTunes, Apple Podcast. What do we talk about, Ben?
We got all sports, NBA, NFL, MLB,
Pac-12, WCC, if it's on the West Coast, we got you covered.
You know what else we got you covered? A little lifestyle, a little fun, a little banter to lighten up your day. There are five-minute life guides.
So whether you live in Seattle, Kansas City, Frisco, Texas, Boston, Worcester, Florida, and you love West Coast sports, make sure you follow us, download us. New episode every Friday.
And we're out.
Boom.
Boom.
I have trouble saying Big Ten and then Big Ben.
Big Ten, Big Ten.